As we continue in worship, we have the opportunity to turn to the scriptures for today. We'll be reading from Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 26. He came down with them and stood on a level place. This is Jesus. And with a crowd of folks and his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and coast of Tyre and Sidon, they had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. All in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. God, we love you and thank you for today, for this opportunity to gather, community of faith, a time of worship, music, of prayer, of communion. God, we thank you for your scriptures for us for today. May they enrich our lives. May they transform our life to be more like you in all that we say and all that we do. I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. So in Jesus' day, many people thought of the kingdom of God like a club. Only certain people could pay the price of admission. Only certain people had the right connections to get in. For example, your family heritage could open the door to the kingdom of God. If you were born a child of Abraham, a member of the nation of Israel, then the doors were open for you were one of God's chosen. It was also thought that another way to open the doors was by keeping the law of Moses. The laws passed down through Moses were established to help the nation of Israel honor God and live as a holy people. But over time, the laws and the rules got more and more until it became this list of 613 rigid rules for righteous living and intricate rules such as what you could eat and work and leisure and worship. And well, there are 613 of them. Who could possibly keep 613 rules? Even Paul, who was one of the most righteous that lived, confessed that he could not live and abide and accomplish 613 laws. It would be like a club with no members, for no one would be able to achieve it. For St. Paul said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This certainly was not the type of club that Jesus desired. For Jesus was one who envisioned a club or a body in which everyone on earth could be a part of. But still, even within that, people would still have certain attributes. This morning, we're looking at the Sermon on the Plain, where also known as Beatitudes, found in the Gospel of Luke, or in the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Matthew. In Matthew, we know it as the Gospel, the Sermon on the Mount. And they're a little different in the way in which they are written. In today's scripture, the Sermon on the Plain, Jesus came down from the mountainside and he stood among his new disciples that he had just called, and he stood on a level place with the crowd. He didn't stand above the crowd and talk down to them or claim that he was any better than them, but spoke to them plainly from a level place. This is a reminder that we can trust Jesus to be absolutely on the level with us every step of the way, telling us the truth of life as he sees us, as he walks with us, as he talks with us, as he goes beside us wherever we are. He's on this level plane with us, becoming one of us in the person of Jesus. Coming down to them, Jesus began teaching and healing those who were gathered. He began teaching them these certain attributes of what it means to be the body of Christ, a disciple, a follower, what it means to be blessed. Now, among the crowd, there were probably acres and acres of human faces. The crowd represented this cross-section of humanity. There were probably rich people there and poor people there. There were people who were considered hungry and some that were full and some who were young and some that were old. Some needing bodily restoration and healing. Some needing love and affirmation. Some needing maybe freedom from voices, telling them they were unwell and unworthy. We know there were many there who were probably struggling and needing healing, and others who were considered failures. There may have been some successful business folks there who were curious about what Jesus and who Jesus was. It may have represented kind of what I believe the kingdom of God will look like. And Jesus came and gathered among them and with his new disciples. And he understood that those who were gathered all came on the same quest. They were all there after the same thing. They were seeking the voice of God to speak to them and to give them life. And they found it in Jesus. And so as before ministry got too far along and before the disciples started enjoying life as one of the disciples too much and all the crowds that were going to be gathering around and all the healings that were going to be taking place, Jesus wanted the disciples to understand this concept of what it meant to be blessed. And Jesus says, "Blessed are you who are poor and hungry and weeping and hated and rejected." If you remember just a few chapters back, Jesus spoke of these words in a different way in which he said, "God has appointed me to bring good news to the poor and proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind and to that the oppressed go free." Jesus knew his purpose, why he came to live and be amongst the people. The Sermon on the Plain begins much like the Sermon of the Mount that we find in the Gospel of Matthew, but we notice that this is briefer and edgier and with a sharp U in comparison to addressing the multitudes. The God of the prophets is speaking and creating a new, unsettling, upsetting order for his disciples. The word disciple means learner. Being a learner, never stop learning. Jesus reveals for us his values and makes explicit the specific details of his mission. He speaks directly to his disciples. It's a call to action, a call to what it means to live a life of discipleship. And I'm sure as Jesus began to teach, there were some in the crowd who overheard him and thought to themselves, "I don't know about this guy. I don't know if I want to be part of what he's teaching and preaching. I like my life too much the way it is." There may have been others in the crowd who thought, "Well, this is good news." This is good news for me. Because I find myself in one of these categories. For some in the world today, we miss some of these scriptures from the Sermon on the Hill and the Mountain and Sermon on the Plain. We rather just look at those scriptures and pick those scriptures that talk about how prosperity and abundance. For I know the plans that God has for me to prosper me. And all who will be victorious will inherit these blessings. And I'll be their God and they'll be my children. But the Beatitudes and woes found on the Sermon on the Plain challenge us to ask, what do we value? And what do we reject in relation to faithful Christian living? Jesus begins sharing good news for those who find themselves on the fringes, who have maybe received bad news, who find themselves in challenging situations, and who find themselves at a rock bottom place. And notice that Jesus speaks in the future tense. He doesn't say that happiness is to be hungry and to mourn and to be impoverished, but he says that in the future, when God's kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven, you will be satisfied, you will be rich, you will be happy. Jesus came in weakness and humility to save not the proud, but those who admit that they are weak and small and need a Savior through God's grace. Jesus came not to put up those who think they are the Savior, but to be the Savior, to be the fulfillment. Something that we achieve not by our personal effort or resources, but by God's divine grace at work in our life. And so that when occasions come in our life, when we feel that we might be at rock bottom, when we may feel that we are experiencing a challenge, that we know God's promise of blessing through his love and grace, that we remember that when our life is taking a downturn, that we remember these foundational promises in which God began his ministry with his disciples saying, blessed are you who are poor or hungry, who are sick, who are hated, who are rejected. For even though there were crowds of people gathered around Jesus at the time of the Sermon on the Plain, Jesus knew that things wouldn't always be that way. And do we then turn and leave what we've come to know, or do we continue to follow? You see, none of these blessings or curses make sense in relation to the things that are mentioned. Especially for so many of us who live a comfortable life, who live we're not the poorest, but we're not the richest. We kind of live in that mid-range. We live comfortable. These Beatitudes fly in the face of what the world has taught us about blessings and abundance and prosperity. But here's the key to understanding God's promise for us this morning. That the promise of Beatitudes is something good to emerge out of something bad. That there are times in our life when we need to know that God is with us. And in those moments, however short or long of a period they are, we experience the blessings of God through our relationship with God. A relationship that never leaves us. A life surrendered is a life when we discover that God is real and that God gives us meaning to our life. and that God accepts us as we are. We come to God not in what we have, but in what we have not. May we discover this promise. May we discover this blessing for our life. May we discover this good news that God shared with his disciples as they first began ministry, knowing that things aren't going to always be easy, but that God walks with us, that God provides for us, and that God calls us blessed. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we do indeed give you thanks for this time of worship. We give you thanks for the opportunity to gather together as a community of faith and know that no matter what we're going through, that you are with us and that you surround us with people who love us and care for us and who want to walk with us as well. And who go through the challenges with us, but also go through those celebrations and the ways in which you are at work in our life through the celebrations as well. And so, God, may we be attentive to one another as you are attentive to us, and may we lean upon you in all that we say and all that we do as we live life together. We pray all this in Christ's holy name. Amen.